Welcome to Free Kick, the AFLW Fantasy Podcast. My name is Mel, and today I'm joined by Jono as we go through a bit of an AFLW Fantasy Explainer episode. Jono, how's it going?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks, Mel. How about yourself?
I'm good, and I'm excited to play some AFLW Fantasy. Even talking about the rules is getting me excited. Let's go through a couple of things around how fantasy works, how to structure your team, and what we should be looking out for. But to begin with, Jono, why don't you run us through some of the basics, like what the points are?
Yeah, it's a very good question. Basically, all we're looking for is players that give us points through their stats. So we're basically going to be buying 21 players, and then every time that they play, the stats that they have is going to result in getting points for our teams. So when we talk about their stats, we're looking at a kick, a handball, a kick's worth 3 points, and a handball's worth two. A mark is worth three, a tackle's worth four, a free kick four is 1 point, a free kick against, what we're trying to avoid here, is a minus three, a hit out is worth one for the rucks, and then a goal is worth six, and a behind is worth one. So basically we're looking for players that are getting as much action on the field as they can, because they're going to score a lot more points for us. But of course, players who have traditionally done that in the past are going to be a lot more expensive, and we have a limited budget. So it's just finding that balance between points and dollars.
Yeah. And we'll talk a bit more about some of the strategies behind that later. In terms of a couple of other things that are important to know, one of them is that each player is going to be assigned a position. So they'll be listed in the game as either a forward, midfielder, defender, or ruck. And this is a position that is set at the start of the season and stays with them the whole time. Where this gets interesting as well, for example, someone like Zali Goldsworthy, last season we saw her spend a lot of time in the midfield and also a lot of time forward. She was listed in the game as a forward, so whenever she ran through the midfield, that was great for us. We got all the extra points as a midfielder, but her status stayed as forward. This season, Zali Goldsworthy is listed as a midfielder, and regardless of where she plays in the game, that's going to stay all season.
Yeah, which I have to say is such a shame, because as a forward, the limited opportunities we've had, it would have been so nice to have her as a forward. But look, we've only got the 16 players on our field. We've got five on each of the lines, defender, mid, and forward. And then we get one ruck. So that's all that's going to be scoring for us each week. Only they're going to count towards our overall score. The only thing I will say is we've also got a bench of five players. So you've got one player tied to each line. So that's defender, mid, forward, and ruck. And then we've got one utility position, which is a really interesting part of the strategy. So with the bench players, if your on-field player misses, your bench player corresponding with that position is going to count in their place as an emergency. This is something that happens automatically. And it sort of gives you a little bit of flexibility and protection if you have, say, a laid out every week, or maybe there's a matchup and you want to swap over who's your last player on field and who's on your bench each week. The utility, though, is interesting because they can be assigned to any position. This is part of the strategy that you get to pick, and you can sort of swap them with your bench players whenever you want. A lot of times, you know, we're going to look at this as an extra midfielder because they traditionally score the best, but, you know, sometimes we're looking at other lines where we're thinking, you know, it might be handy to have additional ruck coverage because I've gone with a risky ruck strategy. So there's a lot of different ways to do it.
Another element to this is that your squad will have a captain and a vice captain. Your captain will get double points, and your vice captain will take those double points if for some reason your captain's not playing. You'd usually chuck this on like your highest scoring player, for example, maybe like a Jasmine Garner. She had a huge 150 point round last season. So if you'd captained her, you'd get 300 points for that game.
Yeah, this is something that I think even this season, we're going to talk about the double weeks that we have a little bit later on, but that's going to become a very important part of our strategy this season. So good to stay across it early.
Yes, Liam does love a captain's call, but I feel like he's going to be under a lot of pressure this season to figure out what we're going to do about our captains. And the one other component to know is that each week you can make three trades. You can trade out three players. You don't have to make all three trades. Sometimes you can do two, you can do one. You can forget about them altogether and not do any, which I've done a couple times. And then sometimes you might be better off not making any trades, which, Jono, I think you might know a thing or two about.
Oh, the pain. I've yet to get through the last few rounds of a season and not drop my rank dramatically every time. Honestly, this might be the first season that I get to round eight and I just leave my team. I walk away.
Just walk away.
Yep.
Oh, that'd be good. That's the AFLW fantasy rules. We know a lot of our listeners and AFLW fantasy players are going to also be familiar with AFL men's fantasy. So, Jono, why don't you just run us through a few of the key differences between these two fantasy games?
Yeah, so I suppose the first thing that comes is in the games themselves. And the most important thing to note is that AFLW games are a lot shorter. So we had them lengthened in 2023 to be 17 minutes plus time on, which is much longer than previous seasons, because before that I think it was 15 minutes with no time on. So very, very different. But this is still about 3 minutes shorter per quarter than the AFL men's, which I know it doesn't sound a lot to start with, but it's about a 17.6% difference. So the scores that we're going to see are going to be a lot smaller because of that.
So taking someone like Ebony Marinoff, she was the highest averaging AFLW fantasy player last season with 128.5, which is objectively an absolutely massive score.
Absolutely.
But when we scale her up to account for the shorter women's games, to put it kind of in men's terms, how does that line up?
Yeah, look, I mean, Ebony Marinoff is absolutely the exception here, because if you adjust that up by about 17%, you get 148.82, which has got to be the biggest fantasy season on record across the men's and the women's. Like, you look at Dane Swan, wow, Tom Rockcliffe, Gary Ablett, their 130 averages, you know, blown out of the water. But at the same time, for most premium players in our forward and defense lines, we're probably looking at an 80 score. It's just that some of these women are blowing up the stat sheet. It's really incredible. Another thing that we're looking at is in the men's game, we've got DPP, so dual position players. We're not going to see that in the AFLW fantasy game this year. So players will be midfielder, or they'll be forward, or they'll be defender, or they'll be ruck. They won't be both. So you won't have the flexibility to move them between line. We talked about it a little bit before, but only having the 16 players on field compared to the 22 that you have in the men's really puts a lot more emphasis on getting some of those important scores on field. And also, we only have one player on the bench for each line plus our utility, as opposed to two in the men's. And I suppose that really means that our cash generation, it's much more important to try and find the right rookies and make sure you're keeping up to date with, you know, who is playing this week, who's going to make me money, and moving people on at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
The last difference, and this is one that it's probably the last time we're ever going to see this, is that in the women's this year, or last year, and every year before this, we've had state drafting as opposed to national drafting, which will come at the end of this season. So basically, it allowed for players in the women's to nominate what state they wanted to be eligible for a club to pick them in. So take someone like Piper Window, could put a hand up and say, I only want to be eligible to be picked by any of the South Australian teams, and then she ended up at Port Adelaide. And this is really, really important to keep in mind, because South Australia in particular, their crop of rookies was phenomenal. And I think they're going to be so fantasy relevant this year. And there was also a lot of players that sort of went in that pre-expansion signing period for some of the clubs like Hawthorn and Port Adelaide in particular, but Sydney and Essendon as well. And I think when we're looking at our rookies that we're going to pick this season, it's not only looking at, you know, are they a high draft pick, because they might have been a little bit lower down, but if they've gone to a state that they're, you know, not a lot of picks were open to, then, you know, someone around 20 or lower could have been one of the best fantasy players we're going to be seeing.
Yeah, I guess the way around that, if that all sounds confusing to figure out which rookies you should actually be paying attention to, we go into great detail on these in our club review episode. So please jump on over and find the episode for the club that you're interested in, and you can get a lot more information about the rookies over there.
Yeah, and we're also going to be putting out an article on rookies a little bit later this preseason. So yeah, that's also another place you can have a look for these. But I guess that's really looking at all the things you need to know about AFLW fantasy. In terms of looking at where the players are coming from and how the game's a little bit different, but let's talk about team structure and managing this budget, because how we spend our limited cash pool is a very, very important part of this game. So every team's going to have a budget of $15.5 million to spend, and that's how we're going to pick our 21 players. The difference here, though, is that if we were to just pick the top players from last year with rookies on our bench, that would cost us about $20.257 million. So we're going to have to pick some cheaper players and hopefully get the most bang for buck. Mel, how do you think we're going to do that this year?
Yeah, so there's a couple of ways that we can go about this. One of the best ways is to pump your starting squad full of cash gen players. So essentially, this is the buy low, sell high strategy. You're going to be putting players onto your starting squad that you think are going to score better than the average. And these aren't players that you can see yourself keeping for the whole season, but this is someone that's going to go up in average quite quickly or have a good game or two, make you some money, and then you can trade them out potentially for a player in the next price bracket. One of the great ways to do this is with rookies. So a rookie is essentially anyone that's coming in priced at between basement price, which is 300 grand, and 420 grand, which is the price of last season's number one draft pick. If you bring in a rookie and they make an impact in a game pretty early on, they're going to make you money because they're priced so low. So for example, they're priced at scoring 23 points, and that kind of means getting a couple tackles, couple of mark kicks, maybe a few hand passes in a game. So they don't have to go above and beyond, but they do have to have an impact on that game. The risk with rookies, though, comes whether they actually play or not, because they're contending in their squad against some more experienced players. And then if they do play, do they stay on field long enough to actually make an impact? So you, with rookies, you really want to be looking for someone that you definitely know is going to be starting in a game. The other good cash gen option here is picking the right mid-pricer. The thing with the mid-pricers is that you don't have the same risk that you have with rookies, which is around will they play? Because mid-pricers are usually more experienced players. They're going to play. They're part of the squad. They're established in the team. But the real risk here is with whether or not they're actually going to have an amazing game, better than what you've seen from them before, enough to increase their points and make you any cash. So the risk here is that you bring them in and they don't have an amazing game, they don't increase in their price, and then you've kind of got this average player left on your squad you can't really do anything with except trade them sideways. Ways to know whether or not a mid-pricer is actually going to be a cash gen option for you. We can look at things like, have they changed their role in a squad? Has the squad had a new coach? Have they maybe moved teams in the off-season? These can be good ways to predict a change in the fantasy value of the player. But sometimes it's just anyone's guess and you can't predict it. It's just whoever goes big, goes big. And that's why some consider this cash gen strategy to be mid-price madness.
So if we're looking back at these rookies and mid-prices from last season, can you tell us some of the players who might have fit in this category?
Yeah, so in terms of the rookies, I mean, we saw Matilda Schultz, Tyner Smith and Georgia Nanscorn, who was actually our Essendon interviewee for this season, as some of the rookies that just broke out of their price bracket and were great cash gen options. A lot of us actually held them into the end of the year.
Yeah, I heard that Georgia Nanscorn made something like $800,000 in cash throughout the season, which is just massive.
Yeah, it was. She actually moved entirely from the rookie bracket, essentially, all the way up to a primo bracket, which was amazing. I mean, if you had her in your starting squad, you'd be laughing. Who should we be looking at this year for similar options?
Yeah, so I guess when we're looking at these mid-prices, people established in teams, I really think the Bulldogs is a good area. So they've got players like Eli Gavalis, who was sort of stuck behind a logjam at North Melbourne, has been traded to the Bulldogs, and now is looking very likely to get some midfield time there. So we're pretty excited about that. Or someone like Lauren Arends, who was playing quite a key lockdown role at the Gold Coast and now over at the Bulldogs, is probably still going to be one of their key defenders. But I think she's going to see a little bit more ball back there than she was at the Gold Coast, who nearly finished top four. So very good option there. And then when we're looking at rookies, I think it's hard to look past Port Adelaide. They've got Shanae Goody and Piper Window, who both just look top tier. I'm so excited to see what they can do. Someone like Laura Stone at the Hawks is someone who is very close to my heart. I think she's going to hopefully get a bit of midfield time and a bit of time off the half-back area for the Hawks. And in the forward line, Collingwood's actually picked up a pretty handy key forward in Georgia Clark. And given some of the injuries they've had this preseason, she could be one that gets a good look to start the season as well.
Yeah, that's a good bunch of rookies who we think are going to have an impact early on. The only downside with this whole rookie mid-prices buy low, sell high strategy is that you have to sell them. So that takes up one of your trades at some point in the season. And we know that we want to be saving trades for injuries or fixture mayhem. So sometimes you don't want to have to use your trades for this, for that cash gen strategy. One of the other good ways you can generate some cash for your squad is looking out for underpriced premiums. So this is a player that you think is going to end up in that premium price bracket within the season, in the middle, in the end. But if you can get them in your starting squad early when they're still nice and cheap and underpriced, you can just hold on to them for the whole season, get all of their great points, and not have to worry about their price.
Yeah, I think when we're looking at some of these options, it's so hard to, with only limited trades each week, really keep your team turning over. And I feel like so many seasons I've been stuck holding someone that I really don't want to be just because I always have bigger priorities each week. So when we're looking at these underpriced premiums, I'm fully on board with trying to make sure you've got enough people in your team that you're going to hold all season. Who was someone last season that you were looking at going, this was the best pick that I had all season?
Yes. Well, if you want to hear Will, Liam and I argue, especially Will and Liam, argue about who gets dibbing rights on saying Laura Gardner's a lock, you can listen to our entire last season because I think that came up in every single episode about who said it first. But essentially, Laura Gardner was one where she came into the last season, averaged at 46. She showed very quickly that she was elite and she finished the season as the fourth most expensive player with 116 point average. So luckily for all of us on free kick, we kind of saw her change in club as a great opportunity to increase her average. Reckon she was underpriced as a premium and started with her. But if you hadn't done that, you'd have to cough up quite a lot of money mid-season or towards the end of the season to get those points. So yeah, underpriced premiums is definitely good if you can spot them.
Yeah, it sounds a phenomenal pick.
It was pretty good. So who could we do the same with this season?
Yeah, we've been looking at a few options, but I think the two that excite me the most, the first is Emma Swanson at the West Coast Eagles. I think she has been playing the last two seasons with a hip injury, which, as we heard in our interview with Ali Drennan, she was saying that it was just really hampering Emma in a way that Emma didn't even realize. So she started to move so much more freely this preseason, and I think she could be one that really shoots up in average.
I love that one because no one, like Emma might not have realized it, we didn't realize it, her scoring was still great.
Oh, she was phenomenal. Yeah. Was definitely their best player over both those seasons, so yeah. Incredible to see. But yeah, I think that's one that I'm pretty excited about. The other is Ruby Schleicher. So this one is not just coming back from injury because she did miss a lot of games last season, but it's also she was trying to cover for a lot of injuries in that Collingwood midfield a couple seasons ago, and we know that she's a better scorer when she's a defender. So this season is going to be the first time that, thanks to Benici and Davey coming back from their respective ACLs last season, Schleicher is going to be able to slot back into that defense and hopefully a lot more plus sixes, a lot more fantasy points. I think she's very, very likely to be our top-ranked defender for the year, and it's something I'm very excited to talk about in the defender episode.
Ooh, yeah, absolutely. Sounds like a good one. That's a little bit around some of the rules, some of the strategies with the pricing, but there's a few more things that we need to look out for in 2024. This ties in nicely with what you were just talking about, Jono. What are one of the things we need to look out for?
Yeah, it's players returning from injury. Because there's a lot of players that I feel like when you miss a season or you're coming to it from the first time, there are names very far down these lists that they don't mean anything to us, but we know that they're very, very good players and we need to keep an eye out for them. So a couple examples, Matty Geeran has missed the last couple seasons for Carlton, and she is one that I think is going to have a very, very big breakout season because she had a couple really, really good scores and was really on the cusp of being one of those big midfielders before a couple ACLs have really knocked her out. So she's one that'll be great coming back. And the other is Lauren Butler, who again was also a phenomenal scorer and is going to be coming back into our sides, no, into the Collingwood side this year. And she is priced somewhere in the 30s. It's crazy low to see her down there.
Yeah.
So I think this is why we're doing each of these club preseason episodes. Just to make sure we really look at each team in depth and see, you know, who are the injured returning players, who are the things that we need to, what are the things we need to look out for?
Yeah. I learned so much from even just researching for those preseason episodes of all of going through that whole squad list every preseason for every club is great. Very useful. One of the other things we need to know more about is the timing for news announcements in each week. In a normal week, which is about half the season, you need to be paying attention on Thursday nights at about 6:20 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, because this is when you're going to get the information coming out for the Friday and Saturday teams and the extended squad for Sunday teams. You also then want to be paying attention on Friday nights at 5 p.m. because this is when you're going to get the reduced Sunday team.
Yeah, and there's also Wednesday nights, which I don't even think we've talked about before, which is usually when the medical lists are released. I'm not sure if they're going to be consistent. This is something we always want the AFL to be more specific on, but I think usually Wednesday nights is the nights that we get our information. So an important thing to keep out there as well.
That is true. Then additionally, we've got these special bye rounds, which is rounds 4 to 7, where we're going to be having Tuesday and Wednesday night games. So that kind of throws everything out, including our Wednesday night injury reporting. On those weeks, we actually don't know when we're going to get the team announcements or when kind of any of that type of news is going to come out. But as soon as we do know, we'll post it up on all of our socials and make sure everyone's well aware. But we're kind of expecting it to be just one day before.
Yeah, definitely just the night before. 6 p.m. is usually what's been done in the past for these sort of things. But it is going to be crazy having the Tuesday and Wednesday night games. And the important thing is, on the nights of those games, the AFLW fantasy game is going to lock out as well. So these are things that we're going to have to be very well across. I guess I should just get straight into the bye rounds themselves, because this is going to be the most unique setup in the AFL fantasy space that we've had for such a long time. So it might be familiar to coaches of EPL or baseball, but basically what's going to be happening is between rounds 4 and 7, about 4 teams a week, sometimes 5, they're going to be playing on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and then again on the weekend. They're going to be playing 2 games in the same round. So we're not really looking at fantasy this season in terms of, you know, round 1, round 2, round 3. We're really looking at as week 1, week 2, week 3, because it's going to be in these 10 weeks that we play the fantasy game, and 11 rounds of football are going to slot into there. So the important thing to note is when a player plays twice in a week, both of their scores are going to count towards your team's scores, which is important. They will lock out just before their first game, and then they're going to be stuck there all week. So you've got to make any decisions with that player, if you want to trade them, if you want to captain them, if you want to trade them out. These are things you're going to have to do before their first game in the week. And I guess I've alluded to the other thing there. Captain choices in these rounds are pretty much going to have to come from players on these teams. Because imagine someone like Ebony Marinoff putting up 128 twice in a week. I mean, that score is going to be 476 points. That's crazy.
Yeah. We've done so many episodes of this podcast already, and we've spoken a lot about these bye rounds, but I've got to say, it's actually really just sinking in. Like, I'm really starting to think about it for a moment. And if you have a player that plays that first game and then they get injured, but they're still locked in for your second game of that week.
Oh, that's going to be, it's going to be,
trades are going to be important.
Absolutely.
Oh, golly.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But look,
that's going to be a lot of fun.
There's going to be a lot of interest coming in with, you know, our player's going to be rested to account for this sort of a 4-day break. We're not sure yet, and we're going to have to see how it comes. But the prevailing strategy that we've been thinking about here is that you really want the chance for your player to play twice in a week. If they only play one, you just end up like every other player. So if you think there's a chance they're going to play twice, I mean, that's such an important double up of their score. You really want to be trading into players that have the 2 games in a week to come. So if they've already had their bye round, there's going to have to be a very compelling case to bring them in.
Just off script, something I really love about AFLW Fantasy is that you pay attention to so many players that you might not otherwise, that might be kind of lesser known names around the club. But this is just going to amplify that element even more, because now we're going to be looking at players that might not have been fantasy relevant. So therefore, it's not someone we've spoken about in the preseason, but they're going to be fantasy relevant purely because they're playing twice in a week.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I feel like players, so take round 4, for example, and we've got bye rounds for the Bulldogs, for the Eagles, for Brisbane. There's a lot of, like, there are some players in those teams, like Ali Anderson that I've had in my team before, but I've never had Ali Blackburn, and I probably, there's a good chance this season that I might. Emma Swanson is someone that I'm really excited to have just for that first bye round. there's a few players that we're going to be looking at in the forward lines as well that I would never have considered, but it seems like they're going to be the players to start with.
It's going to be great. I can't wait.
Mm.
Well, this has been your AFLW Fantasy Explainer for Season 9. You can listen to our other preseason content wherever you get your podcasts, which now actually includes YouTube.
Very exciting.
Go check that one out.
Yeah.
Yes. Set that one up.
Check that one out and subscribe.
And subscribe and like and comment and do all the good things and let me know what you think about it. You can find our other preseason content, which is our club review series, out now, as well as our best 21s on social media. So we've got Instagram and Twitter for those announcements at FreeKickWPod. We'll chat to you more later. Bye.
See you, everyone.